You're listening.
This is how we do it.
Damn it. Let's try this again. You're listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
This is how we do it. I'm Kia.
And that's Kia. And we are here to talk about season 4, episode 11, Claimed. The time is now 11:10 p.m. We're delirious. And it's fantastic.
This is serious.
We are on it tonight, y'all.
Songs.
Bad news. Okay. So before we get into all the fun stuff, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials. We are Two Dead Chicks on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and pretty much anywhere else that you can find your podcast. Make sure to leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We love to hear your feedback, and it helps to drive more Walking Dead fans like yourselves to our podcast, and we love that, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. You can also find us at twodeadchicks.com, and please feel free to send your questions, comments, concerns, feedback, whatever. Love letters. That's cool. To twodeadchicks@gmail.com.
And guys, also remember that during these throwback episodes, we won't be discussing future events. If, you know, you were in the mood to hear us do a little comparison between whatever and something that's happening. Sorry.
Not on the podcast.
Yeah.
Nope.
You can email us. You can tweet us. We'll talk.
Oh, for sure. And you can also, by the way, I've not been very good about mentioning this, but you can also hashtag us, hashtag TDC pod. And that, you know, lets us see your tweets and keeps us involved in the conversation all year long. That was my best used car salesman.
Oh, okay. I got it. I gotcha.
Now you got me singing a freaking NSYNC song.
Well, I mean, didn't take much.
It didn't take much.
You know, NSYNC is evergreen.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Yep.
Yep. They're always applicable to any situation.
Just here we go. NSYNC has got the flow.
Yep. They do.
They do. And now we've got the flow.
Yep.
We've got the flow.
Gonna flow right into Claimed.
That's right.
How's that for a segue?
That's right.
Terrible. Yeah.
It's great.
What did you think?
I really love this episode, actually. The Michonne and Carl pairing. Oh my god.
So sweet.
It is the sweetest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically that's my favorite thing about it. We get introduced to Eugene, Abraham, and Rosita, and
Rosita's navel.
Yes. And I mean, like, super firm stomach situation.
Yeah.
Like, go girl. Get it. But I love Abraham. He's one of my favorite characters. So getting to finally go back in time and relive this is pretty fun. Yeah. So I love it. What about you?
Yes. I also really liked it. I was sharing with you. I was like, why have so many notes on this?
Same.
Yeah. So
tons.
Hopefully they won't be like drunk ramblings.
Nah.
We'll see. You never know. No, no, they won't. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yep, that's the song too.
I know.
If I sang all the songs I heard in my head whenever you say something that prompts a lyric, it just nothing would ever get done.
I love it.
All right. So we start at the intersection of Cook Road and I don't know where is Ville Avenue. I don't know what's happening, but the military truck from the last episode rolls by with Tara in the back and she's writing her bearings on her hand because she just writes down Cook Road. And the truck has to stop because of a roadblock. And just as Tara starts to pull out her gun because she sees some walkers approaching, the man from the last episode, who we now know as Abraham, Sergeant Abraham Ford, he gets out and tells her, "Do not fire that weapon." And he jumps out and basically amuses himself by killing walkers with whatever he has handy. He just throws little quips at them. he sees this one woman walk. He's like, oh, honey, you are a mess.
I love him so much.
And Tara just watches him do all this. And she's like, I've never seen anyone smile while they're killing them. And I'm like, well, Tara, fair point. But also, you just left your apartment like a week ago.
Like, this is true.
You haven't seen much.
She has not seen much. Except for one eye bride and her dumbass sister and her strange niece. So,
yeah.
This is a whole new world yes. for you.
Yeah. Just new adventures behind every corner for you, Tara. And Abraham does not address that whole smiling thing, but he just asks her to help him clear the road. Back with Rick and Michonne and Carl, they're at their house, and Carl is sitting at the dining room table to eat his dry cereal, which I thought was cute. And he sat at the table.
I know.
Like, old habits.
Precious.
So Michonne joins him. And he chuckles at her oversized man shirt. But then I like it because she puts a little twist on it because she cinches it at the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little closer to her figure. Yeah. I'm like, all right, girl.
That's right.
So she sits with them and she says she wishes that they had soy milk. And Carl very animatedly tells her that soy milk is the grossest thing in the world. It caused him to throw up. And I'm like, well, I'm not a fan of soy milk, so I gotta.
I like soy milk.
I don't.
Soy milk and almond milk.
I like almond milk.
I'm good with either of those. Soy man, milk chocolate and cereal? Chocolate soy milk. Mm-hmm.
Soy milk and cereal.
Yeah, see, I like it.
Yeah, I don't. There's this taste to it that I think I just like the way almond milk tastes closer to dairy
mm-hmm.
in situations like that. And so, like, that's why I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't like soy milk. I like stuff to taste as close to dairy as possible.
Cashew milk, that's good too.
Yeah, all right.
We just got on a whole yeah. thing.
So yeah, they're both laughing at this, and Carl kind of ups the stakes, like, oh man, I'd rather have powdered milk than soy milk. I'd rather have Judas formula. And then he just like cuts himself off.
Yeah,
and the mood just suddenly shifts, and he gets up quickly. And he gives the excuse that he's going to go finish his book. I was like, aw.
Poor baby.
Yeah. So then Michonne walks into the kitchen to join Rick, who is literally doing nothing. He's standing in the kitchen, opening and closing drawers. At one point, there's like a pot on the counter. And he like takes the spoon out and puts it back in. Like, what are you doing, man?
Just trying to do things. I'm doing stuff and things, Kia. That's what I'm doing.
But I'm like, his shirt is barely hanging on to his body right now. He's walking around, this is sleeve torn off, the back's all cut up. I'm like, can you go change, man? Like,
find you a shirt, baby doll.
That's what you can do. Find a shirt. I don't know what you're doing now.
That's a good task. This is your mission of the day. Find a shirt that is somewhat clean and normal.
Yeah. And so when she comes in, he thanks her for making Carl laugh again. Because he can't be both a father and a best friend to his son. And he clearly thinks Carl still needs the father more than the best friend, even though he just told Carl he was a man.
So he's yeah, like, but still.
Yeah, I know, I get it. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah. That I just thought that was interesting. He's like,
it is.
You're a man now, Carl, but secretly, you're still 15.
Yeah.
And he tells Michonne that Carl needs her, and he knows that's a lot to put on her. So if she ever feels like she needs a break, and then she quickly is like, I'm done taking breaks.
I love that.
Yeah. Daryl got in her head.
Yep.
Ugh. And so she asked if they're going to stay there for good or if this is just a stop along the way. And he tells her that he wants to stay there while they figure it out. And he stares at her for a beat and he looks kind of apprehensive to me. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't know what she's going to say to that. Mm-hmm. She nods and she's just like, all right, well, I'll go with Carl to get some more supplies. And he immediately jumps in like, I'll go. And Michonne's like, you were unconscious yesterday. He's like, I'm awake today. And she insists that he stays there and rests one more day. And he agrees and she leaves as he watches. What did you think about that little exchange? I thought it was interesting.
I love the fact that, first of all, Michonne, I think, has truly decided, okay, these are my people. Like, you really see that mm-hmm. come into play. And I love that Rick can count on her to go with Carl, you know? I mean, like, yeah. that they're, I don't know. I just think it's such a great friendship forming.
Okay.
I love that. Such a great situation for me. I like it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. Because I'm just like clearly like, blah, 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 just word vomiting over here. So I'm going to shut up.
Okay. I thought Rick's reaction to her question was interesting because she asked what the plan was.
Right.
And to me, I think I mentioned it in an earlier podcast episode, but especially here, it seems like this is, again, kind of like the most vulnerable or kind of out of sorts that we've seen Rick since the beginning in the hospital. Because mm-hmm. as soon as he got out of the hospital, it was, where's Lori and Carl? Where's Lori and Carl? Yep. Got to keep Lori and Carl safe. Got to stay on the farm. Got to yep. find a place for the baby. Got to do. Like, he definitely had a mission for every single part in his life, even up to the farm. Like, got to keep, not farm, but his little farmer phase.
Right.
And
got to keep the crops and the pigs in them. Mm-hmm.
And now he doesn't have a daughter, as far as he knows. Daughter's gone. Son is kind of flexing a little bit to get some independence. He doesn't have anybody to lead. And what is the plan?
Exactly.
And I feel like this is the first time in a while where he's just been kind of floundering.
Yes.
And I thought that was interesting that she asked him that, and his kind of, like I said, his apprehension to say that he just kind of wanted to figure it out. And he looked nervous.
Yes.
Like, is that okay for me not to have a plan?
Yeah.
Kind of. And I like that she just took it in stride.
Yep.
And was like, all right. So,
aww.
Yeah. I was like, look at that.
Look at that indeed.
So out on the porch, Michonne tells Rick that she and Carl will be back by noon. And Rick gives Carl his gun, tells him to follow Michonne's lead. But then he and Michonne both kind of notice that Carl is a little down. And Carl says, it's just because he's hungry. And I'm like, oh, look at this. I love that little kid.
I know.
And Rick and Michonne glance at each other. And I'm pretty sure Michonne winks at him.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sure. Just to be like, hey, you know, I got this. Well, I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And she and Carl leave while Rick sees them off. Back inside, he closes the door and pushes the sofa back against it, which he can barely pull off. So good thing you didn't go out since you can't even push a couch. And he goes upstairs and he checks his bandaged ribs, a.k.a. another excuse for Andy Lincoln, take off his shirt.
I'm saying.
All through this season.
I'm not mad.
Then he finally gets a clean t-shirt and he puts it on, plops into bed, with the selected short stories of Jack London
to
lull him to sleep. I'm like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Rick, you reading? What's your favorite short story for Jack London? Right. I guess I get it. It's just it's one of those things where he's probably still just kind of wired up and can't go right to sleep, but reads something boring. And
there you go.
Not saying that's Jack London stories are boring, but I just feel like that's why he's using it.
I think so too.
So Michonne and Carl, they exit a house with slightly full bags, but Carl is still down. So as they walk, Michonne's trying to engage him, like, you find anything good? Like crazy cheese, maybe? And it's such a random thing to say.
It is.
And it gets Carl engaged, like, what? And she is like, she pulls out just a big old container of easy cheese.
Yep.
And she's super excited about it. She's like, you can have the first pull because I'm nice. And he's like, I'm good. I'm fine. And Michonne's like, you don't seem like you're fine. And he's like, I'm just tired. And he keeps walking. So she's like, I got it. And so she walks ahead of him and squirts a whole mouthful.
A whole one. Of
crazy cheese in her mouth. And it's dripping all down her chin. Everywhere. And then she just like Walker growls at him with a mouth full of crazy cheese, with easy cheeses. Her mouth's all open. It's just in her mouth. Like, I can't get over the fact that her mouth is full of easy cheese.
Yeah, no, I can't. His face is like, okay.
Yeah. And he just keeps walking. And she looks so bummed out.
She's like, she does. She's like, oh.
And then,
bam, burned.
Then she closes her mouth. Yeah. Which is full of easy cheese.
And then she has to swallow that.
Yeah.
Ugh. So sorry, Michonne.
I think Michonne may like it.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, deny that that's in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think Michonne may like easy cheese.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, like, especially that much of it at one time.
Right. Because I feel like you would have just spit it out.
Yeah.
If you didn't like it. But I think she's just like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, I guess at this point, you eat it just about anything.
Yeah.
It's better than a squirrel. I'd rather eat easy cheese than a squirrel. Just saying.
So she catches up to him, and she apologizes for her lack of funniness, because she's not used to making boys his age laugh. And he deadpans that he was laughing on the inside. That made me laugh.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
So she just casually drops that toddler boys find her funny. And when Carl presses her about that, she also casually drops that she had a 3-year-old son that found her hilarious. And so they enter a new house to look for supplies. And supplies are now the furthest thing from Carl's mind.
Yep.
Because he starts peppering her with questions. He wants to know why she never told him what his name was, if she had more kids, if she was married. And her back is to him while he's asking all these questions, and she starts to look a little overwhelmed. And so then she tells him that she'll answer one question at a time, one room at a time, after they cleared it. And then she quickly leaves.
Yep.
So, what did you think about that bombshell that we kind of already knew?
Well, I mean, we kind of already knew it, obviously, but I think it was interesting that she told Carl.
Right.
Because she's not told anybody else that we are aware of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's interesting that they're forging these bonds together. Right.
That's so cute. Like, aww. See, you want to talk about it now, don't you?
Talk about what, Kia?
I don't know. I didn't say what you want to talk about. I just said it. What? I just said it.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Because I don't know.
But you know.
Shh. I'm going to start getting all giddy.
I'm just saying. I tried to propose it. It's fine. So back at the house, Rick got about 3 pages into his short stories before he fell asleep. I'm like, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Sleep, Rick.
There you go.
But then we hear some voices of men that are coming from downstairs. And they are arguing and getting louder. And then when one of them yells, it startles Rick awake. Mm-hmm. And he reaches for his gun automatically, forgetting that he gave it to Carl. Then he grabs the watch that he put on the bedside table to check the time to, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he rolls off the bed and under it, just as one of the men comes upstairs. And he is so freaked out. One of the men comes to the bedroom. Rick is breathing as quietly as he can, but his hands are shaking. Mm-hmm. And like his eyes are frantic. He even grabs the watch to pull the crown to stop it from ticking because he's just, I'm scared for him.
I know.
It's like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? I can, because when you wake up with a start, yes, it's so scary. And then it to is. Know that you woke up with a start for a reason, like, oh, you're in danger.
Yeah.
I can just imagine his heart racing. And he's sweating. I just feel like he started sweating as soon as he got under the bed.
Profusely, I might add.
Yeah. So the man, he ends up plopping down on the bed. And then you can hear another man's voice downstairs saying that this will be their abode for the evening. Which does not bode well for Rick.
Look at you.
Back with Michonne and Carl, Carl asks for her son's name again because he's cleared a room, and she says it was Andre Anthony, and she moves down a hall just looking at artwork of like bunnies.
Yeah, random
stuff. Okay. Like she's really studying it, like, I really love the mid-century feel to this. And Carl tries for like an immediate follow-up, and she shuts down. She's like,
denied.
No, yeah. It's not clear yet. So he clears the room and he is granted the answer to his question about if she had more. And she didn't, just the one. And then he pushes it. He's like, does this hallway count as a room? And she's like, if you find something that we can use. And so he looks around and finds a painting on the floor. He's like, this is all I can find. Does this work? And she's like, technically. I'm like, okay. These false rules of this game. I mean, clearly.
Well, it got him engaged and got him talking.
It did. But I mean, he would have asked anyway. But it's just, I just love the fact that he brought her a painting.
And yeah, I know. Like, she's like, okay. Like, let me definitely use that.
And yeah, she's like, technically it counts. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Make him work.
It can work question. For it.
And so his question is how long ago it happened. And you see her struggle just a little bit with it. And she tries to keep her tone light. And she's like, you know, it happened after everything happened. And when Carl asks if Rick knows, she tells him she never told anyone except for him. Aww. And he's like, your secret's safe with me. And she says, it's not really a secret. And he's like, okay, but it's still safe with me.
Oh my God. That yeah. melted my heart.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he leaves to clear another room. I'm like, see, those are the secrets you have with kids, Carol.
Exactly.
Like, come on. Yeah, very sweet. And I like that. I kind of kidded before, but I do like that the rules kind of just dropped away and they were just having a conversation because clearly the painting is nothing.
Right.
And she didn't make him go clear another room before he asked again.
Right.
So
I love what he said about, you know, it's still safe with me, because maybe it's not a secret, but it's also clearly not something she likes to talk about or wants yeah. to talk about. And he is mature enough to recognize that and I don't know. I just thought that was a really sweet moment.
It was. Ugh. Very sweet.
Coral.
So it's just you like Carl. Carl. So she finally takes a look at that painting, and it is of a woman, but there's like black and red paint all over it, like running blood. Looks really creepy.
Super creepy.
The X over the eye and the mouth. And so she looks at the door that it was propped up against kind of suspiciously, like, what's behind there? And I'm like, see, this is where me and Michonne differ. Because if I saw that, I'd be like, well, time to go, Carl.
We're definitely not going in there.
Yeah.
No.
Looks like some weird shit went down here, so we need to leave.
Yes.
But yeah, she goes in, and it's a Jack and Jill bathroom. So she goes to the other side, and it's this kid's playroom. And it's nothing too ominous, but the music is still
very
it's telling me different. Mm-hmm. So I'm still on edge, like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then she opens another door, and it's to a bedroom, and she stops almost immediately. And then we see two sets of bodies. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's two boys, two girls on two twin beds. And Michonne approaches it and she quickly wipes her eyes. She's crying. She's wiping away tears. And then she kind of gets startled by the presence of another body in the corner. And it's probably the mom.
Yeah.
It's like there's just blood splattered on the back of the wall. Ugh. Also a hole in the back of her head.
Yep.
And she takes all this whole scene in and she panics a little. And she leaves the room just as Carl comes looking for her. And he sees her just as she's closing the door. And she's very obviously blocking it with her body. Doesn't want him to go in. He's very observant. He's like, there's a baby in there, isn't there? She's like, it's a dog.
You just said that too fast, Michonne. Yeah. Too fast.
Yeah. And he doesn't believe her. And then he shares with her that Rick let her name Judith. And then tells her that maybe Andre and Judith are somewhere together.
Oh, my God. My heart.
See, Lori did something good. I mean, we know.
Sure.
We know Rick. We know this didn't come from Rick.
You don't think?
No.
Aw.
No. But Michonne is like clearly touched by that. And she's like, you know, we should get back. It's almost noon.
It was really sweet.
It was very sweet.
This kid he's amazing. So, you know what? All right, Lori. I'm going to give you some props.
I love that. I love that exchange of confidence that they had. And it started that morning with Carl's slip up about Judith.
Yep.
And then Michonne opening herself.
Yes.
To talk about her son and then Carl recognizing that and still, and, you know, just talking a little more and them comforting each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so awesome. Like, it's so sweet.
It's precious.
Yeah. You have anything else to say about that?
Nope. Better not. Because once it starts, I can't stop. So I'm just going to keep
emotion. Can't stop.
Can't stop the feeling.
I don't acknowledge that song.
I know you hate that song.
Back at the house, the guy on the bed is sleeping, and Rick tries to slide out from under the bed just as another man comes up the stairs, walks into the bedroom. And these two men argue about who gets the rights to sleep in the bed. And I would assume it's the guy that's already sleeping in the bed, but...
Yeah, no, apparently not.
It's not the way their operation runs. And it turns into, like, a legit physical fight. And one of the guys ends up on the ground. And he and Rick see each other because it's literally, like, 2 feet in front of Rick. Mm-hmm. But before the guy on the ground can warn his traveling companion, he gets choked out by his traveling companion. And,
oh, well, then.
Yeah.
I mean, and they also said something about, like, the guy said the bed was claimed already. It was claimed.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
How old are you, 5? I claimed it.
Yeah.
It's mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would seem obvious. It's claimed by
the person who's the occupant. Occupying it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also funny. He was like, I didn't hear you claim it. It's like, well, you weren't up here.
Exactly. My ass on the bed means I claimed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this group is weird. Like the fact that he choked this dude out.
Over a bed.
Yeah.
Woo.
So now Rick is stuck, double stuck. Somebody on top, somebody in front of him. But we're not going to find out what happens. Not just yet. Because remember Glenn?
Yay, Glenn!
We're back with Glenn.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Yay.
And he comes to in the back of that military truck with Tara sitting behind him. And he has no idea what's going on because he basically passed out immediately after they left the prison. So he's like, did we pass a bus? And she's like, yeah. But everybody in it was dead. And it was like 3 hours ago. And she's like, but I know how to get back there. I've been writing directions, everything, since we've been on this trip. So Glenn starts pounding on the window and yelling at the three in the front to stop the truck. And Abraham gives him the finger. But then he changes his tune when Glenn uses the butt of his gun to start cracking their back window. It's like, he's determined.
Yes.
And once the truck stops, Glenn and Tara hop off while Abraham, Rosita, and Eugene get out. And Abraham basically tells him he can't go anywhere because they need strong people like him to get where they're going because the fate of the world depends on it.
Like, okay, drama king, keep your pants on.
Yeah. And Glenn's like, who are these people? to Tara. And Abraham introduces them all. The most important one being one Dr. Eugene Porter, a guy who is off to the side rocking cargo shorts and a mullet. And he needs to get to D.C. because he knows what caused this whole thing. And Glenn's like, okay, what happened? And Eugene's like, it's classified.
Uh-huh.
And Glenn's like, okay, well, sorry about it. And he starts to leave with Tara trailing right behind him. And she's like, I know how to get back. You know, I'll get you there. Abraham and Rosita are following. And Abraham's like, you know, it's a waste of time. We heard about your wife. You're never going to find her. So you might as well do something that counts for something. So Glenn drops his gear, turns around, punches Abraham.
Like, so hard he hits the ground.
Yeah.
And this is not a small man.
Right.
I was like, yes, Glenn! Yes! I mean, I love Abraham, but he deserved that so much.
He did.
It's great.
So they get into a legit fight while Rosita and Tara try to separate them. And then we see off in the distance near the truck, near Eugene, some walkers approach. And Eugene yells at them to get their attention, but no one hears him. So he grabs an automatic weapon, and he looks like he has no idea what he's doing. And he starts firing at the walkers, and also into their truck. So the sound of all this gunfire stops all this fighting nonsense, and everyone comes running and firing towards the walkers. And they make a little badass crew. They look good.
Everybody's shooting. They do. Man. Well, first of all, okay, so I immediately was like, when I saw that it was Tara and Rosita that were the ones that were trying to break up the guys fighting, and mm-hmm. Eugene's over here like, burr, 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 you know, okay. But I was just telling you off mic a few minutes ago, I had come across some tweets that I had sent out on, like, via Time Hop or whatever, when this originally aired. And I was like, okay, so y'all are trying to sell me on the fact that the man with the mullets got the answers. I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
Take it back. I'm not buying this.
You're
shit.
You're not here for this?
No, I was not ever here for this one. I knew, like, I was like, no, I'm like, dude, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
The man with the mullet is going to be crazy.
Yeah, I didn't buy it either.
I just didn't buy it. Yeah. So, whatever.
Especially because he just shot the truck.
Exactly. And like shot it in a way that sprung a gas leak or whatever. I'm like, yeah, you know what? And also the fact that he couldn't even intervene to stop these men from fighting. And like, no, let me just leave it to these girls. Like, let me not like try to like step in and help.
Right.
Let me just stand here.
Or why would you just stay there when the walkers are coming? Why wouldn't you go to the people who... Just a lot of stuff about him. I was like...
A lot of things. I'm like, I don't know about you, sir.
So, yeah. When Abraham sees the gas leak, he utters the iconic phrase, son of a dick.
Man, there's so many good ones.
So many. Coming up from Sergeant Ford.
Love it.
What did you think about this little fight and everything?
Well, I loved that Glenn just held his own up in there. Loved it. It was so freaking awesome. And again, I can't reiterate enough how much I'm not here for this Eugene shit. I'm just not. I'm not. I can't. Whatever. Well, yeah, never mind. But I'm just so not. So, yeah, what about you? What do you think?
Before I choke.
Sorry.
No, I thought it was strange. I thought it was strange that Abraham was so callous about Glenn when he doesn't even know him. He doesn't know him, doesn't know anything about Maggie.
Well, and the way I remember it, though, like, he was also, like, he was callous at first, but then he kind of softened just a little. Like, he was like, oh, like, maybe he kind of, like, caught himself, like, oh, that really sounded like a dick move. Like, mm-hmm. What am I? But it was too late at that point. Like, no, you done said it. You done said it. So we are about to whoop your ass.
Like I said, I liked how everyone looked badass shooting.
Yes.
I liked how Rosita, when she fired, you saw like the kickback in her arms.
I know.
I liked that. I feel like this outfit is impractical for a zombie apocalypse, though.
But she's fierce, so I'm like, do it, girl.
No. I'm like, I need you not to get scratched anywhere. I just feel like there's a lot of open areas.
Lots of open areas.
So I'm just like, you know, I don't want you to die. So let's cover up a little bit. That's all.
Get your t-shirt, honey.
Just not for anything. I'm just for practicality. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting because nobody else has really done that before now. Like, worn something like that, you know?
Yeah. I
mean, most people they're piling on. They've got like two or three shirts on at a time.
Makes her stand out, though. I mean,
it does. She looks great, too. So,
yeah. Back in the house where Rick is, he manages to sneak out from under the bed. But then another guy comes upstairs. So then he goes to hide in another room. And this is where he hears the men yelling about finding Michonne's shirt. And they are making big plans about what they're going to do to her when she gets back.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Like, you don't even think about, I didn't think about just the danger, not even of people in the apocalypse. Because I figured, you know, people are trash now.
They're definitely going to be trash in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
For sure.
But then you think about, like, just the specific danger of being a woman. Yep. And you're like, these dudes are out here like, oh, I'm smelling her shirt. It smells good. Does it?
Ooh.
Like, does it really? It's probably covered in blood and guts. Right.
Like everybody else's.
Right. So, and you pervs are out here smelling it like, ugh. That's, mm-mm.
Yeah.
So I just got frightened right there.
I know. Like, I mean, no. That's scary.
Yeah.
To think about.
So yeah, Rick hears all this. He tries to leave, but again, someone else comes up the stairs and he gets kind of cornered and he has to hide in the bathroom, which is occupado by some guy sitting on the toilet with his pants still on. He's just sitting on the toilet.
Why?
He just needs a moment. He just needs some quiet time. Because I can see it. These guys seem obnoxious. But yeah, he was just sitting on the toilet, jeans up. Like, what? And so these two get into the quietest possible fight ever.
But was it? Because I'm pretty sure, like, Rick kind of slung this dude around and, like, it was definitely loud. What? It was loud enough that somebody should have heard it.
I feel like it wasn't as loud as it as normal fights are.
Maybe not as normal fights, but it was loud enough that somebody had been like, I heard a thud. What was that? You know, oh, like,
okay,
come on.
Yeah.
Come on, dudes.
Yeah. Maybe I just didn't have the volume up. It just seemed very subdued. Like, is nobody's knocking anything over? Like, knocking stuff off of counters? Like, I feel like that's what happens in fights usually.
I remember, like, he threw him up, like, against a wall or something. But, like, I mean, there was definitely a sizable thud. I mean, these are two grown-ass men.
Right.
So I'm like, how?
But you know how, like, during fights, if something is on a table or a counter, it's knocked off.
Right, yeah.
But that one was
No, it didn't. Yeah. But there was definitely some thuds. And
just quiet grunting. And I was just like, okay, well, that's convenient. Whatever.
Well, there's that.
And so Rick ends up strangling this dude. And I'm like, well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Got his strength back.
It's that adrenaline, man.
It'll do it.
Yeah. And he grabs his gun. He grabs his automatic. He's like, maybe you're right. Because he was ready. Because he pointed towards the door. Like, is somebody going to come in? So then he opens the... Also, that guy on the toilet had no shoes on. I don't understand what he's doing.
I don't know.
Just, I would come in, sit on the toilet, keep my pants up, take my shoes off.
Yeah, because that makes sense. For sure.
So I just feel like that's just, it's just indignant way to die. Just barefoot, strangled in the bathroom.
With your pants still on.
So yeah, Rick opens the bathroom window to sneak out, but before he does, he opens the door a little bit. Tricky. And then he manages to make it off the roof undetected, but with a snazzy new jacket. And he walks towards the front porch just as one of the men comes outside bouncing a tennis ball. Some other guy, this is the same guy that was bouncing a tennis ball earlier.
Yeah.
When he almost got found Rick. So back on the road with Glenn and Abraham and that whole crew, Abraham is telling some war story about a camel and something and dynamite, I think. I don't know. I feel like nobody's listening to him.
Including us.
And he's trying to unsuccessfully fix the truck. And he asked Eugene how in the hell he managed to kill the truck. And Eugene says, a fully amped up state and ignorance of rapid fire weapons.
Oh, man. You got a good Eugene going on there.
It's fairly straightforward. Like, well, I get. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
While everyone's standing around, Rosita finds Maggie's picture on the ground and gives it to Glenn, just as Glenn goes up to Abraham and, you know, wishes them luck before he leaves. And Tara follows Glenn, and then Rosita follows both of them because what the hell else are they going to do?
She makes a point.
Yep. Eugene agrees with this, and he tells Abraham, trust me, I'm smarter than you. I was like,
okay.
And like I said, bold statement for someone who just shot up your truck.
And has a mullet. I'm just saying. On purpose. On purpose.
Yeah.
But did you also happen to notice the weird smile that Eugene had on his face as they walked away?
Well, he had it on his face when he was standing next to him,
too.
It's like
a smirk.
Yeah, but he had it, like, when he was standing next to Abraham. Like, it wasn't a secret smirk.
No.
It was I'm smarter than you smirk.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pulling one over on you, smirk.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, because who is buying this? Who is buying what this fucker's selling right now? Right. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Back at the house, Rick is still outside on the perimeter of the, just like right outside up to the, up like next to the foundation of the house. And he's checking for Carl and Michonne in the distance as he hides. And one of those guys that was inside, he's like settled down on the porch with a can of food. Well, you know what that was? It was red. Was it like tomatoes?
He kept I'm not really sure.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. I just kind of was like,
I wasn't sure what it was either. But he was nasty. Sitting out there spitting stuff out. Like, what are you doing?
Gross. He was nasty?
Yeah.
He said, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
He was. He was nasty. I'm like, why are you doing that? Yeah. What are you spitting out? Is that tobacco in there? What are you doing? What is happening? And he, for some reason, he made me think of like the dude abides. I don't know. What's that movie? The Big Lebowski? I don't know why he made me think of that guy.
I don't know. The dude. I've never watched it.
It's not my favorite, but yeah, the dude.
Okay. So got some Jeff Bridges over here.
Yeah. The dude. The dude abides.
So then Rick decides to check for Carl and Michonne again, and this time he definitely sees them walking towards the house. So he positions himself to shoot this guy. He's like, We gotta go.
Yep.
But before he can do it, there are suddenly screams inside and walker noises and gunshots. So the man runs inside, and then Rick runs to intercept Carl and Michonne, and they escape immediately.
Man.
I know.
The look of relief on his face. When he realizes, when he's literally about to shoot this guy, it's like, oh, thank God. Off he goes.
I know.
I love it.
It's like your walker trap worked, Rick.
That's right.
Look at you. Back on the road with Glenn and his ragtag group, Abraham is talking to Tara, and he's basically trying to tell her that this is dumb. Just randomly following Glenn. And he gets it. It's out of loyalty, but wouldn't you rather do something that would save the whole world? And she kind of gives it back to him. And she's like, well, me following Glenn is no different than you following Eugene. Because Eugene is the one that needs to get to DC, not you. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing? And she figures something is up with him, and she tells him, like, I don't need to know what, but don't lie to me.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, look at you, Tara.
I kind of like her, actually. She's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about her, but she, because I think it's probably a good representation of a more relatable everyday like every woman.
She is. Yeah. And I like that she's got a little sass.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
I think I think a fair amount of the women we have.
They do. Yeah. I like it. Well, there's one that
fair amount.
Yeah. Of the women we have. So I'm all about any of the women with sass. Give them to me. Love them.
At the very end of the episode, we rejoin Michonne, Carl, and Rick as they walk along some train tracks. Carl offers Michonne some crazy cheese.
Precious.
And she laughs. But then a sign by the side of the tracks gets all of their attention, and they go up and read it. And Michonne and Rick are looking at each other over Carl's head. And she's like, what do you think? And Rick's down for it. And they continue walking down the tracks, and we see what they see, which is the same sign that Mika read. And Terminus. It is signed with Terminus.
Man. All right. Death Toll. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I'm just over here being like, what the fuck is up with this guy with a mullet? That's what we're doing. We're like, we don't trust you.
Right.
We don't trust you. Don't listen to him, Glenn.
Don't do it.
Oh, man. Okay. Do you have any superlatives? Best all around MVP?
I kind of want to give it to Rick. I want to give best all around to Carl and Michonne.
Yes.
And MVP to Rick.
I dig it. At least likely to succeed?
No.
Yeah, I don't really. No, I'm going to give that to Eugene, because I just don't get him.
I mean, just shoot up the truck.
Exactly.
I will continue to go back to the fact that he shot their truck.
And I feel like that's a pretty good reason to say he's probably not going to succeed.
So, no, he's smarter than you. So,
well,
he said it.
He can suck it. Okay. So, all right, guys, that's all for today. And we'll see you soon. Bye.